The new U.S. civil administrator for Iraq, Paul Bremer, promised this week to move quickly to improve security in Baghdad.
Since I arrived on Monday, I've traveled around Baghdad every day, and I've seen shops open and people going about their lives. But there is a serious law and order problem. We will continue to address it.
Bremer and U.S. military commanders said they have added more patrols, more troops, and worked to jail criminals released by Saddam Hussein before the war. Iraqi citizens and aid groups say lack of security continues to undermine stability and reconstruction efforts. U.S. forces say they did not anticipate the scale and depth of the looting and lawlessness after the regime fell. But others see a failure in planning and believe far more should have been done. NPR's Eric Westervelt reports.
In the first weeks after U.S. forces entered Baghdad, Iraqis pleaded with army units on patrol to do more to curb violence, looting, and arson.
The aid's coming, security's coming, one day at a time. We're trying.
We need security. It's already here, not coming.
3 weeks later, Iraqis and humanitarian groups alike complain that painfully little has changed.
The message we're getting from our people on the ground is still security, security, security.
Kevin Henry with the aid group CARE says the lack of security is directly affecting CARE's ongoing efforts to help improve Baghdad's healthcare system and restore other vital services.
Just this last weekend, we had two vehicles carjacked right after the end of the war. In the chaos that ensued, our warehouse was looted. Over the last 2 weeks, we sent quite a few people in. Unfortunately, we've now decided that we have to pull some of those people back to Amman due to security conditions. So it's having a major impact.
But some at the Pentagon see it as a case of chicken little journalism. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, testifying on Capitol Hill this week, called the criticism of lawlessness in Iraq misplaced.
You empty all the jails and you put a bunch of hooligans out and you look at an infrastructure that wasn't working before the war, and then everyone says, well, my goodness, it's chaos, it's turmoil. What's the matter with you? You've been there for 21 days and you haven't solved all the problems. The circumstances of the people in that country are better than they were before the war. They're going to get better every day. We can't make it like the United States in 5 minutes, and we know that.
But in private, some military commanders and Pentagon advisors offer strong criticism of White House and military planners, who they say failed to adequately prepare for the peace. One military official who advised the Pentagon and retired Lieutenant General Jay Garner on post-war reconstruction told NPR, all these things that fell apart, security, water, electricity, were addressed in a cavalier manner before the bullets started flying. The Pentagon and National Security Council, the source went on, were so focused on the war plan and where to search for weapons of mass destruction that they essentially said, we'll worry about the rest when we get there. Another advisor, retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Sam Gardner, an expert on reconstruction, says there's enough blame to go around for Washington's lack of preparation.
I had some occasion before the war to go around town briefing people on what I thought would be the humanitarian disaster. The Pentagon, although was very polite, seemed to be confident that they knew what was going to happen. I heard from discussions from people from the National Security Council who said, well, we pretty well got the humanitarian situation in hand. The president has spent an hour on it already.
Even mid-level army commanders in Baghdad privately expressed deep anger that too few military police and civil affairs units were pre-deployed to Kuwait. One company commander said they should have been ready to go right after the fighting stopped.
The fact that they were not the engineers and military police and the like on standby to immediately be airlifted into the country upon the fall of the regime, I think is indicative of the lack of preparedness.
Professor Stephen Zunis is author of Tinderbox, U.S. Middle East Policy and the Roots of Terrorism. The early stumbles in post-war Iraq, he believes, will only lead to more resentment toward the U.S. and ultimately harm American interests in the Middle East.
This kind of resentment may lead to the rise of forces that can maintain order in the eyes of the Iraqi people, such as extremist Islamist groups. I mean, after all, this is how the Taliban rose to power in Afghanistan.
Experts agree that key problems include a U.S. military structure ill-suited to peacekeeping and an administration still philosophically uneasy about nation building. The U.S. military has a proud record of post-war reconstruction after World War II under the Marshall Plan, but today's military is simply not set up for it. For example, almost all of the Army's military police, civil affairs, engineering, and psychological operations groups are reservists. That limits the Pentagon's ability to assemble large numbers of these specialists and keep them on duty for long periods of time. Larry Goodson teaches in the National Security Department of the U.S. Army War College.
A lot of our nation-building type units, for example, are among the reserves, and you're always reluctant to really deploy reserves for long periods of time because of the disruption that it causes back home to families and local economies and so on. And you can't do nation-building light. You have to do nation-building heavy at first. You have to step in and provide security and clean water and electricity and get the schools running.
Citing increased nation-building duties in Afghanistan and now Iraq, experts hope the Pentagon will improve its planning for post-war stability and peacekeeping operations. In fact, it is not a top priority and hardly enters into Secretary Rumsfeld's push to transform the military into a quicker, leaner, more flexible fighting force. Indeed, the Pentagon is closing the U.S. Army War College's Peacekeeping Institute, the only U.S. government body devoted to studying post-conflict security issues. The institute also advised the Pentagon on lessons learned from past conflicts. Professor Zunis.
Very unfortunate timing. Our servicemen and women are well trained to do what they are trained to do, but unfortunately there has not been enough training for this kind of post-war administrative tasks.
The Institute is a victim of a Pentagon budget realignment aimed in part at deploying more troops into the field for the war on terrorism. A military official complained that what the Army Peacekeeping Institute does cannot be picked up by any other military program. We made our case and lost, the official told NPR. Now, he added, we just have to salute and drive on. The War College's Peacekeeping Institute is set to close in September. Eric Westerveld, NPR News, Washington.